Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Luke, chapter 13, we'll begin at verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans? Because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words, these warnings that tell us that we need to repent. Lord, to be right with you, Lord, we pray that you would touch the hearts of these here today. Lord, may your word go out powerful. And Lord, we know that it will not return unto thee void. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Except ye repent. Folks, this is not towards any one individual. This is not towards any one city or one nation. It's to all men and women that they must be willing to repent. Repent means to change direction, to make right, to regret one's past, to have remorse, penance, lamentations. We find that in the New Testament, there are a number of places where the word accept is used. And we're going to begin with the thought here, except ye repent. But if you would, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I want to hear your pages being used. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll try to make sure I tell you the right scriptures where to turn. And you turn, if you would. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 17. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and so shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees had been blinded by religion. They wanted to beat up the common people with the law. And Jesus lets it be known that he has not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. In other words, he is going to keep it, all of it, the Ten Commandments and all that was given. But there are those who use religion as a sledgehammer to try to better themselves by cutting other people down, much as the Pharisees and the scribes did. And they were blinded by so-called spiritual events. They kept the Sabbaths and they kept the feasts. But so often they had no love, no compassion, no zeal for those in need. And Jesus says, unless your righteousness is better or exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they will not see heaven. Righteousness is to be upright. We live in a world today that does not want to take responsibility for their actions. We have the right to blame others because, well, if they hadn't done this, then I wouldn't have done that. But to be upright, to be ethical, to be honorable, to be holy, our desire should be to be better than them, not because we're special, but because we have the love of God in our hearts. We have the Word of God to direct us. And we have something of which we count precious. Do you count the Word of God as precious? Is it something that you enjoy having in your hand? I remember when I was in high school, I was being taught by somebody, and I don't remember who, but they said you need to make sure that you take the Word of God with you to high school. And I remember how hard it was to take my New Testament and to put it in my pocket, because I was sure that all my fellow students there knew that I had a New Testament in my pocket. The fact of the matter is I probably should have had a Bible with my other books, but the fact of the matter is what we need to have the Word of God as being precious. We need to be righteous. If you would, the book of Matthew again, chapter 18. Matthew 18 and beginning at verse 1. We'll find, except ye be converted. And verse 1 says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Doesn't that just sound like a human being? Who's the greatest? And Jesus called a little child unto them and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. He continues to say, woe unto those that offend a child. Oh, may I warn you, parents and grandparents, may I warn you, adults, be careful that you don't offend the faith of a child. That your actions are not such that they see something in you that makes them stop going to church. That makes them say, well, I don't need the Word of God because look at my parents or look at these adults and how they live. May I say, be careful that you don't offend the faith of a child. But we find here in verse 3, except ye be converted. The word convert is a Latin word in English dress. Vert, to turn, and con, together. That is to say, a turning, not alone and unaided, but in company with another. We are to turn people from hell and direct them towards heaven. But our lives had better be such that when they see our lives, they will want to turn towards heaven. Acts 3:26 says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. In turning away, converting, if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I don't hear as many pages turning now. That's right, I want to hear them. Ephesians chapter 2, I believe that it's important that we look into the Word of God. I believe the Bible is precious. You know, I don't mind being called an Eaton Baptist, but I want to make sure that we are called Bible-believing Baptists. Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, please. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, he quickened, made alive. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Except ye be converted. Folks, we live in strange times. Our gas prices jump up 30 cents. How many of you realize that we only use about 5% of gas or fuel that comes from Iraq? 5%. Yes. And our gases jump up. We live in a world that doesn't seem to know what to do. We have conflict all over. We have people who are angry, road rage at a high level. We have suicide rates higher than ever before. We have everything imaginable, it seems, and yet people are distressed. They're angry, they're frustrated. The thing is, we have Christ. Except ye be converted. If you're not willing to take Christ, expect to be frustrated. Expect to be angry at society, because you don't have the one thing that brings peace, and that is Jesus Christ. If you would, John chapter 4. John 4. This is where many people are today, wanting signs and wonders. And if they don't have them, they won't accept the Lord. Some will say, well, I've tried religion. Don't try religion, take Christ. If you would, John chapter 4 and verse 48, John 4, 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. We live in a world that wants to see, that they won't believe in creation because, well, I wasn't there. But they'll accept evolution. We live in a society that says, well, if I can't see it, then I won't believe it. Well, may I say this? How many of you saw pictures the other day of that double tornado in Nebraska? Did you see the power of God there? Do you know that God works in nature to bring people to Him? You say, well, people were killed. I know God is hoping people will come back to Him. Flooding in our Midwest, where we have people that don't realize that God desires us to return to Him. The signs and the wonders come, and they still refuse. They refuse to escape what is coming their way. This same book, chapter 20. Chapter 20. Jesus has been tried. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been taken down from the cross. And he's been put into a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, he comes out triumphant. The ladies have gone to the tomb and it's empty. John and Peter have run there and yes, it is empty. Christ has appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He has appeared to 10 of the disciples in the upper room, and Thomas wasn't there. And so what do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Isn't that sad to have that testimony? Do you know sometimes it's sad when someone makes a mistake and that's all they remember about that person is that one mistake? I think Thomas got things right. But sometimes we want to remember the bad that someone has done and forget the fact that they've changed and gone a different direction. We find in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now, folks, he's talking to you right now. Notice, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Folks, we're not to be like a doubting Thomas. We're to be ones who have faith. Have faith. May I say this? We have the Word of God, and that's what we need. Notice verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We have the Word of God for us. And that is what we need. John chapter 3, if you would, please. John 3 and verse 3, the story of Nicodemus and how he comes to Jesus by night. And he has much to say concerning this rabbi, this teacher, this one that's from God. And notice what it says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. We find that Nicodemus hasn't asked the question yet, but Jesus is going to give him the answer anyways. Notice, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus' response, verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, born once into sin and death, for the wages of sin is death. Born again into victory and life, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Except a man be born again. John 12, 24 says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Christ died to bring us life. Aren't you glad for the life we can have in Jesus Christ? And I tell you what, I am glad that when I stand before the God of the universe, I will not do it in my own strength and power. I will not do it because of any good works that I have done. I will not do it because of any good looks I have or any money I've earned. I will do it covered by the blood of Christ. Because Christ was willing to die for you and for me. And we must die to self to bring forth fruits. Folks, I hope when we stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the awards are handed, and the crowns are given, I do hope that you will receive some so that you can give them back to him. None of us would want to have to stand there and watch others being praised for what they have done and to stand there with our heads down, having done nothing. Which brings us back to our text, if you would, the book of Luke, chapter 13. Verse 3 says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There is no righteousness without repentance. There is no conversion without repentance. A lack of repentance leads to doubt and fear. There is no new birth without repentance. There is no fruit without repentance. The prophets of the Old Testament demanded repentance. John the Baptist demanded repentance. Jesus demanded repentance. The Apostle Paul demanded repentance. The half-brother of Jesus, James, demanded repentance. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We find that God told Cain to do right, if not, sin lieth at the door. Repent. Will you repent today and get things right with God? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Shall we stand together? 375, Just As I Am, is our invitation song. Maybe this morning, you need to come and repent. Don't say, well, people will wonder why I'm going forward. Don't worry why they wonder if you're going forward. Be worried why God wonders why you're not going forward. See, he knows your heart. He knows your condition. He knows if you need to repent of something and get it right. And get it right now. Before you leave this auditorium, before you go out and get in your car, before you have your afternoon lunch, to get things right with God is so important. 375, we'll sing in just a moment, but shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of those that are here today. You knew as the sermon was being put together who would be in attendance today. You knew what needed to be said, and we said it, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we pray that there will be joy in heaven over one repenting today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.